Democracy in Action, a program on how a state functions, featuring in-depth discussions with experts on governance, politics, and decision-making. Tune in as every week we explore the complexities of governance. What is democracy? What is your role as a citizen? All these and more in Democracy in Action, Thursday at 9 a.m. with a repeat at 9 p.m. the same day. Stay informed and engage with Democracy in Action. Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Hello, my name is Lucy Kiden, and I'll be your host for Democracy in Action today. Now, our focus today is peace negotiations. Peace negotiations are vital in cases of conflict. They often lead to agreements or contracts that outline actions and mechanisms to address and eventually end violent conflicts. And so to understand more about the importance of peace negotiations in South Sudan's context, the different formats and applications, joining me is David Kwaje. David Kwaje is IGAD's head of mission in South Sudan. IGAD is the Intergovernmental Authority for Development. It's part of the African Union and a regional economic community in Eastern Africa. David, you're welcome.
Thank you, and I'm glad to be here with you.
Yes, and then also we have the Dean of School of Law at the University of Juba, Dr. Alfaki Chol. Loal, you're very welcome, Dr. Alfaki.
Thank you very much, and very pleased to be with you this morning.
Well, thank you all for tuning in this morning as we have this conversation about peace negotiations here on Democracy in Action. You are welcome to join the conversations later on the show, and you'll be able to call through the following lines, 0912-067879, 0912-067929, and 0912-068101. You can also start texting in your questions or comments on 0912-177-141. Now, as we delve into the discussion, first of all, we need to understand what is peace negotiations, and then also understand the different types and stages. But first, just define for us peace negotiations, Dr. Alfaki.
Thank you very much, and good morning once again to listeners of Miraya FM. To give concept or definition about peace negotiations, we can say that peace negotiations are discussion between parties in conflict to end violence and conflict and establish a peaceful agreement. So peace negotiations mean a dialogue, a discussion between the warring parties in order to end conflict and violence and reach peaceful agreement.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Alfaki. David, do you have something to add there?
I think it's very important to look at the fact that peace negotiations are a way of conflict resolution. And I think that is the key. And thank you for that well definition, Professor.
All right. And so it's a form of conflict resolution where the two parties are brought together to find a solution to eventually end the conflict. And so what are the typical stages or phases of a peace negotiation process? David.
Thank you. Normally, broadly, it can be categorized into three main stages. That is the pre-negotiation stage, and then the negotiation stage, and then the post-negotiation stage. So those are the three broad phases within which, and I'll just begin with the pre-negotiation, where you will have parties getting to know each other, where they come and introduce themselves. They also regroup among themselves so that they know who are you discussing with. On the negotiation, which is always the longest period, it is where now the parties look at the detailed terms and they present their positions, and then there will be counter positions. And normally that is, most of it is within the negotiation phase. It takes a lot of time. Then now you have the post-negotiation, where now the parties get to the implementation of the agreement. Therefore, peace negotiation doesn't end on the table. And that's why you see they say there's no peace, there's no perfect agreement. So along the way, as the parties are implementing, they keep dialogue, they keep engaging. That's why, for example, the RRCs, for the one that we're implementing now, you have mechanisms that ensure that parties keep talking to each other and keep negotiating and keep testing the agreement's relevance and inclusivity, so that they are able to smoothen the implementation, so that it does not just end at the signature phase.
Okay. Dr. Alfaki, do you have something to add there?
No, thank you very much. What he has mentioned is correct. Peace negotiations have these three stages. You have the pre-negotiation, and then formal negotiation, and then you conclude with agreement, and then implementation.
Okay. And as these three stages continue, I believe the two parties, especially since they're at loggerheads in that moment, they are not in position to just speak to each other without maybe bursting into violence. And most times there is a third party that comes in. Why is that important?
The third party, usually we call it mediator, the one who can bring two warring parties together. Because if two parties are fighting, they cannot sit and negotiate among themselves. So we need a third party to come and bridge the gap between the two parties. Mm-hmm. And also to create environment for dialogue. So there must be a third party who is capable to convince two parties about the importance of the end of conflict.
All right. And what are some of the qualities that make an effective mediator? How do you select the third party? Because if you have tribe A conflicting with tribe B, are you going to bring a mediator from tribe A or tribe B? How do you bring in a mediator to ensure impartiality and not, again, fueling more conflict between the two parties?
Exactly. A mediator, there are certain conditions he must or she must fulfill. One of them, he must be neutral. That third party should not be a part in that conflict. And third party must be accepted or acceptable by the two parties. So the two parties must agree or must accept that Mr. X and Y can be a mediator. And that party also should have a character of patience, because negotiation is not easy. It may take long. So you should have patience, so that in case of disagreement, you can be patient for some time so that you bring two parties together. And also, that third party must have ability, intellectual ability, moral ability, neutrality, impartiality, and so on. And should be accepted. The first thing should be accepted by the warring parties to negotiate between them.
Okay, and now I'm going to bring this next question to you, David. Why is it important that both the warring parties accept the mediator? It may be qualified and all that, and one party is like, no. Why is it important for there to be some mutual acceptance for who should mediate during a negotiation?
Thank you. And I will go back to the point of the professor there. The key is that impartiality, because it's the basis upon which the mediator gets accepted. And why the mediator has to be accepted by the parties, that is the warring sides, is because they will have to listen to him, and they will also have to accept his bridging role, because at some point the two parties or the three or how many numbers are, they will be having their own positions. And as you see during the negotiation phase, sometimes the positions are too diverse, and it needs that acceptance so that the parties can also trust. Because remember, you're going to give information in confidence. You do not want to give it to somebody who later will not honor that code of the trust. And also, so then last is also to have that aspect of them being viewed as neutral, so that they do not take sides, and also they become alive to the fact that each one has a valid reason, and that they at some point will have to cede ground. So that's why most of the mediators end up being people who are elderly, people who have seasoned wisdom, so that they become, the parties can open to such people.
Openly trust them and share in confidence, and as well as have that confidence that this person will not choose the other person's side. And when they're making a decision, it is after bringing the views of both parties and respecting each of those views. Thank you very much for that. And so beyond the official, what we are terming official delegates is the key parties to the negotiation. So you have the warring parties, they could be two or more. You have the mediators. Who are some of the other important actors and stakeholders that influence peace negotiations? And how is their role important? How do they impact the process, Dr. Afaki?
Yeah, peace is a national demand. So in case of war, when there is a conflict, the peace will not be a demand for the warring parties alone. There are certain stakeholders in the country. For example, you have civil society organizations. They are stakeholders. You have women groups. You have political parties. You have faith-based organizations. You have different categories in the country, those who have interest in peace. So they can play a positive role in negotiation. They can give pressure to the warring parties to accept peace agreement. That is one. At a regional level or international level, also they are key actors. For example, UN agencies, regional organizations, they may have interest to restore peace in the country. So you have different groups of people who are not part of the war, but they are eager to see peace in the country.
Okay. And now coming to you, David, when you come to stakeholders and key delegates and all that, during the discussions, there's often a word on power sharing, transitional justice. Could you maybe explain what these concepts mean? Yes.
Okay. Of course, power sharing, as some now refer to it as responsibility sharing. If you look at the text of new agreement, they call it responsibility sharing. But what they are referring to is the power sharing, whereby you have positions divided, and even others go to much detail that they even not only focus on the executive, but it goes down to even the county and the local government structures. So it's basically division of positions, to be blunt. On the transitional justice, this arises from the fact that the conflict came because one person felt that they were not getting their justice. They were being treated unjustly, so they are aggrieved. Hence the importance of transitional justice mechanisms being embedded so that you deal with the root cause of the problem. Because what the power sharing does is that it brings the other party into a unified form of government. But the transitional justice mechanism is supposed to ensure that there's accountability, but above all that the aggrievance and those who are harmed get to be reparated and they get to be compensated, as well as having the wrongdoers taken through the legal and justice procedures.
And you've mentioned some of the reasons why it's important to have transitional justice. I want to throw this to Dr. Afaki. Why is it important to have the responsibility sharing? Is it a must? Are there usually any other forms ways to address the issue without bringing in power? How does it work?
Yeah, this is important to have this idea of power sharing. Because when you sign a peace agreement, you need people that will implement that one. So if one party is not in power, or you are not part of the government, you will not guarantee that implementation will take place. So it is very important, because when the two parties reach the agreement, the implementation processes, such as integration of their forces, of the army, disarmament, should be done in witnesses of all. So it is important to have the idea of power sharing. Also, the issue of power may be the reason of conflict. So if it was the reason of conflict, it should be part of the solution.
Okay. And when you bring in forces and army, is it always that warring parties will have an army, or sometimes it's not the case?
Yeah, not necessarily to be always, but when there is a fighting, it means that there are two armed groups.
All right. Thank you very much. And now coming to looking at some of the significant challenges that are faced in everything that is done has a challenge. And there are some that are usual, but then there are those that are very significant. And I want us to pick from our context, looking at the different agreements we've had for South Sudan. We've had the CPA, and then we've had the revitalized agreement of 2018 that is about to end, and then we'll move on to a transition. What are some of those challenges during peace negotiations? And yeah.
Yes, there may be some challenges during peace negotiation and during peace implementation. Maybe from our side or inside. From inside, there may be certain groups of people or politicians are not part of the agreement. So they will not be in a good situation to take part in implementation. Also, there may be some external actors, those who are not interested in the peace. So they may have their own political agenda to sabotage that peace. And also, the warring parties themselves, if there is no genuine political will for lasting peace, they may challenge themselves. So a lot of challenges can be seen.
Yes, I'm coming to you, David. You can add to that as well. But I'd also like you to touch on implementation. The format for implementation, is it the same as that of negotiations?
I will say it is a bit different, because when you come to implementation, it is where you test the theories. Because all along you have been having theories and everything was on the paper. But now when you come to the implementation, you have now the challenge of actually doing. And a key among that is, you know, the fact that political will, as professor there mentioned, it gets to oscillate. On certain issues there will be political will, on certain issues there will not be. So you need to have that awareness and to be able to have a mechanism to ensure that you keep maintaining that spirit. It is always very difficult. It's one challenge that even up to this day we keep asking ourselves. The same thing with confidence building, because along the way events will happen, and that's why most of the agreements sometimes collapse within the first 12 months, because after one party gets what they wanted, there is that reluctance that comes. So those are the big challenges. The others, of course, are maybe financial resources and all that.
Yeah. Okay. And just coming back to implementation, I know you mentioned that it's very different. Could you maybe mention what changes when you leave the point of negotiation? How do you transition into implementation? Are there different actors that are brought in? Are there some that are taken out? What exactly, what's the shift there?
The shift is mostly, first of all, fundamentally, there will be a formation change. in the sense that you will now have to shift from being, if it was a direct conflict, then there will be, if it was a violent conflict, then you have to shift from a movement into a government.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a whole psychological change that needs preparedness and also needs someone or an ally or the mediators to keep working with that with those parties so that they are able to shift and to meet the demands of the agreement, because now the agreement says you have to implement it could maybe the security arrangements, it could maybe economic reforms, it could maybe the power sharing which Professor alluded to earlier. So you have to seed ground, and that is where now the rubber meets the road.
Okay. And so now, still looking at implementation, once the agreement is reached and these processes are done, maybe a government is formed. Usually the term is interim government, or maybe the one that will continue. What are some of the strategies that need to be in place to ensure that the implementation is successful?
As my colleague David put it well, implementation is a difficult stage in peace negotiation or in peace process. So the first thing after the formation of the peace government, there must be, or the mediators should continue to promote dialogue between the warring parties. So dialogue should continue, because matters of conflict may arise at any stage, at any time. So dialogue should be promoted and continues. Secondly, the mediators also should enhance the process to build the confidence and trust among the warring parties. So that is very important. The second thing, the processes of disarmament, demobilization of armed groups should be implemented so that you guarantee peaceful implementation of the peace agreement. Issues of rule of law, legal justice or legal system, or to reform economic situation in the country should be implemented also. In addition to that, there must be political inclusivity. So any party, whether he was part of war or he was not part, but he is actor or the stakeholder in the country, should be part in the implementation.
All right. Thank you very much. And if you've just tuned in, this is Democracy in Action. My name is Lucy Kiden. Our focus today is peace negotiations, understanding the different formats as well as the application in terms of the process itself, the different stages. And we have with us David Kwaje, head of mission at IGAD, and also Dr. Alfaki Cholwal, dean of the School of Law at Juba University. And so after the break, you will have the opportunity to call in if you have a question or a comment. And yes, I advise that you keep it short, but then we'll be able to do that after the break. So stay tuned. Don't go away.
You're listening to Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Henry Soka. As a South Sudanese, I'm appealing to everyone in this country to embrace peace. All of us have been yearning for peace for quite a long time. There is no reason for this country to continue fighting. There is no reason for every South Sudanese to continue suffering. So I would like to urge everyone to focus on peace. Let us put violence aside. It doesn't help us. It is time for us to build our nation. South Sudan needs to go forward. Let guns be silent. Let us sing and dance. Thank you.
South Sudan, a new dawn, a new beginning. Let's celebrate the peace.
Alaikum salam. Welcome
101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
Welcome back. This is Democracy in Action. And as we focus on our topic for today, which is peace negotiations, we've looked at the definition. And so peace negotiation is a way to bring a conflict to an end. So bringing together parties to the conflict and bringing them to a table to dialogue and find solutions to end the conflict. And so there are different stages for peace negotiations as well. And one thing that I've picked out is that during negotiation, there's need for a third party that is a mediator. And this person's role is to create an environment for dialogue. And this mediator must be impartial and must be neutral. But also the parties to the conflict who are supposed to dialogue should all agree on who the mediator should be. On implementation, we've understood that dialogue should continue. It does not stop after an agreement has been signed. It should continue as the implementation process also begins and continues. So that should always be promoted. And then building of trust and confidence in the parties, not just the parties to the conflict, those who are conflicting with each other, but also those who are affected. That is the public. And so those are the other stakeholders. And then also disarmament must take place. And then also rule of law reforms in the justice system as well as the economy. And so, yes, that is where we are right now. And you're welcome to call in shortly after our guests share a little bit about what are some of those peace negotiations in other countries that have been successful, and what are some of the lessons that can be learned for South Sudan that is undergoing a peace process. And I'm going to throw that to Dr. Alfaki.
Okay, thank you very much. There are some successful examples in the region. One of them, we can take example of CPA, because CPA succeeded, and that's why we have this country now called South Sudan. So it is one example which restored peace in Sudan and led us to independence.
Okay.
Also in Rwanda, in Gambia, Mozambique,
yeah.
In Afghanistan,
yeah.
Those countries witness successful examples.
All right. Thank you very much. David, do you have another example to add before we take a call?
I will go to the Khartoum Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It was done, I think, 2 years ago.
Yes.
And then also we have the most recent one being the Gaza. Ceasefire Gaza agreement.
Okay. In Gaza. All right. You're welcome to call in right now, 0912-067879, 0912-067929, 0912-068101, and the text messaging line is 0912-177-141. Let's hear our first caller, Radio Mirai. Hello. Could you please turn off your radio?
Okay, just a moment.
All right. Please call back after turning off your radio. Radio Mirai, hello.
Good morning, Luke.
Yes, good morning. What's your name?
Who are you? Call me Galua Mukwe.
Yes, Galua. Go ahead and ask your question very straight to the point.
One question, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So now there have been a lot of negotiation here and there, but no successful conclusion. So what is your take on making this, there's no concrete negotiation solution to all these agreements that have been negotiated between these two parties? That's the question. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And if you'd like to ask or comment, go ahead and call in right now as the lines open. You can also send a text message. Do ensure that your radio is turned off before you call in. Radio Mirai, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
My name is Benjamin. I'm a disability activist.
Yes.
I just want to say thank you for having your guest
mm-hmm.
in the studio, and I greet them. I just want to say something, like to quote a verse that the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called children of God. So the peace process, those they engage in peace, whether political parties, whether oppositions, the people have heart for peace, definitely it will not take long time, like 1 year, to achieve the peace. But because they don't have willing, they're not willing to have peace. Some of them they're just looking for the interests of their selves. Like in South Sudan, particularly, people are just fixing themselves to be in the office for more years. And into the end, the ordinary people, innocent people of South Sudan, they're the ones suffering. Especially like category for like we are disabilities. We are not earning something from the government, but we are obligated to government to have rights for this country. But we are getting nothing, and then our voice even is not heard. When we talk about democracy, you accept each other, not because we are disabled, but you accept each other. Even in media, sometimes our voice is not heard, you know. So we are totally lose hope for peace. Now next tomorrow, they're going to extend more years for themselves, be in the office, and changing themselves from office to office, and there is nothing new.
All
but
right.
For me, the world is not quiet. For me now, I start to advocate for the international community to take off.
All
and
right.
To do something about Sudan.
Benjamin, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Juba.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Benjamin, and sharing your comment there. We have room for one more caller. If okay, there we go. One last caller. Radio Mirai, hello. Yes, could you please raise your voice? So takiti hit.
I'm calling from thank you. This is the
same. Yes, please go ahead. Oh dear, there's a lot of interference there on that call, and now we can give one more caller a chance to also call in and comment or share, ask a question. Our guests will be answering your questions as well as we continue with the Democracy in Action, with a focus on peace negotiations. All right, due to time, the lines are now closed, and we go ahead and answer these questions here. Okay, we have one question specifically by Gatluak Makwey. How can we find a concrete solution to this peace process that has been ongoing since 2015, with a lot of extensions after extensions, and somehow there is still issues? I'm going to throw this to Dr. Alfaki, and mumkin tawonus be Arabic aman.
Okay. Thank you very much. أنا أفتكر بأنه عشان ما نصل للسلام أخير أو سلام دائم في جنوب السودان ده يحتاج بأنه كل الأطراف تكون جزء من الاتفاقية والمواطنين يمتلكوا هذه الاتفاقية والاتفاقية تكون معروفة عندهم ويعرفوا التفاصيل هذه الاتفاقية. To own this peace agreement, I think, is the guarantee. Let us participate in the ownership of this agreement, and the peace should be disseminated to the people.
Thank you very much. That is the solution. Now, coming to you, David, I'd love you to add your voice to what Benjamin, the representative of those with disabilities here in Juba, how he spoke, and he's saying he has lost hope because it seems like this agreement is for people to just keep the power and keep changing position from position, and an extension is coming and still they're not seeing the peace, and the public, the citizens are the ones who are still suffering. Go ahead.
First of all, I would like to thank the caller, and it is a good opportunity to receive such feedback. The verse he actually quoted, I believe, should be from Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very, very true that some groups will feel that they were left out, because remember the an agreement is supposed to first of all cater for the warring parties to stop the fighting. Then from there it de-escalates into socio-economic components of the society. However, aspects such as the transitional justice will also be able to look at those members of the society who were aggrieved or who are also hurt, and how can they be given special considerations. So to me, the key thing is, as earlier mentioned, is that One, people have to own the process so that they find themselves within the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, they will be able to speak from a point of authority, but also from a point of legal backing from the agreement. So patience is very important, but above all is the people-to-people engagement. And this is one area that I would like to thank Radio Miraya for coming up with it, and we really look forward to have these conversations even beyond the studios, but within specific forums of the society.
All right. Thank you very much. And so now, as we're coming to the end of the program, I would like you to now share your last remarks as you speak on ownership of the peace agreement. How does, we know that the extension is on the 22nd, and we have 2 years, and there's hope for elections to happen in December 2026. What are your hopes as you're all custodians of, we are owning this peace agreement. So, yes, what are your hopes, starting with Dr. Alfaki?
I hope that our politicians should come to their conscience, and they should consider the situation of the people, and they should be serious this time to implement the remaining aspects of peace agreement, and then they should have a genuine political will to conduct election in South Sudan. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. David?
Mine is an appeal to both the regional and international community to continue walking the process. It's very easy to forget about South Sudan when you have the region in chaos. Therefore, that appeal is to ensure that we achieve the goal and the ultimate exit door for this agreement, which is the elections.
Okay. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming to Radio Miraya to speak on these topics. Do have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, this brings us to the end of Democracy in Action today. My name is Lucy Kiden, and this happens again next week on Thursday.